Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Beis. We begin at the very, very top of the Yomid with the brand new Mishnah. Nun Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah begins. Yisomim Shesomchu Eitzel Baal Habayis. If you have Yisomim that are dependent upon a person to go take care of their needs. These are young children, and Nebuch, their parents have passed away, and they're as an apotropos, a person is functioning as their legal guardian. So Rashi explains that this was done Lasel Sal Pib. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about where a man just stepped in and became their apotropos. He wasn't appointed by the father Nebuch before he passed away. He wasn't appointed by the Beis Din. And nevertheless, even this person has the status of being an apotropos. So the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a person who's basically a self-appointed person to be the apotropos, the guardian, taking care of the needs of these Yisomim. Or, the next part of the Mishnah tells us, oh, Shemin Olehem Avien Apotropos, or that their father appointed this person to be the Apotropos. Nebuch, he was dying, and he knew that he would need somebody to take care of his children financially after he was gone. So he appointed this person to be the Apotropos, the person in charge of the estate, to go and administrate it and take care of his young children. In these situations, either with the self-appointed apotropos or with the one that was appointed by the father, so chayav li aser peroseim, he is allowed to and is in fact obligated to take off trumas and maestros from the produce that is produced in the fields that this person had owned in his estate. And this is because you can't go and eat something without taking off trumas and maestros, so they wouldn't be able to have any benefit from the field, and therefore the apotropos is allowed to go and do this on their behalf. Now, normally a person is not allowed to be Torahim without being given permission. So here, this even self-appointed person, and certainly one that was appointed by the father, do have permission to go and be ma'aser, to take off the trumas and maestros from the fruits that are produced from this field. The next part of the mission tells us, apotropos shemino avi yisomim, the father appointed so-and-so to go and be the apotropos for the estate, and then the children grow up. So at the conclusion of the period of time when they no longer need an apotropos, they now reach the age of godless, and they can take care of their own financial affairs. So the Mishnah states that Yeshava, this apotropos, has to make one shvua to them. So Rashi says, Kishiyiglu ha'yisomim, when they've grown up, so the apotropos has to swear, Yeshava lehem, she'en lo biyado klum mishalem, that he didn't take anything off the top, he didn't skim off the top, and there's nothing that he took from the estate. So he has to make one general shvur to them, even though there's no specific concern or claim that they have, he has to, according to the Tanakam over here, make a shvur that he didn't take anything. However, that's only if he was appointed by the father. Minuhu Beis Din. If Beis Din had to appoint an apotropos, Nebuch, there was nobody that was appointed by the father, and nobody stepping forward to say, I will do this. And Beis Din has to go appoint somebody to go and be the apotropos of these orphans. So then, if Beis Din appointed you, the Tanakhama says, Lo Yishava. There is no need to make a Shvua. And the reason will be explained in the Gemara. And we'll see that this is a machlok between the Tanakama and Abba Shaul, which we'll have in a moment. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara to explain it. Why does the apotropos that the father appointed, according to the Tanakama, have to make a shvua, but the apotropos that Beis Din appointed does not have to make a shvua? Abba Shaul says the exact opposite. Abba Shaul Omer Chiluf Hadvarim. He says that the one that was appointed by the father, the apotropos that is appointed by the father, doesn't have to make a shvua, and the one that is appointed by Beis Din does have to make a shvua. And as I said, we'll explain the rationales when we get to the Gemara shortly. Gemara starts off in questions, the first part of the Mishnah. We said that the self-appointed apotropos, or the father-appointed apotropos, can go, in fact, to take off trumas and maestros. But as I pointed out, when we read the Mishnah, this is a problem, because how do you have the right to do this? Or Minu, we learned in the following brisa, where it tells us that the pasuk says, Atem, that you have to go and take off trumas and maestros, which implies Atem, the lo shutvin, that if you have two partners, one partner cannot go and take the trumas and maestros on the other partner's stuff. So let's say one partner, the Reuven and Shimon are partners, and Reuven wants to take off trumas and maestros in the whole field. No, he has to get Shimon's permission to go and take off on behalf of Shimon. So he can't just do it automatically, because the pasuk says, Atem, you, the owner of the field, has to go and take off the trumas and maestros, and here, Reuven is only part owner in the field. The other 50% is owned by Shimon. So unless he gets Shimon's permission, Atem, velo shutvin. Atem, likewise, we darshan, velo arisin, a sharecropper. There are different types of sharecroppers. Here we're talking about a sharecropper that gets a percentage of the yield. It could either be 25%, 33%, 50%. Those were the standard amounts that were given. I guess it would depend on the yield of the field and how difficult it was, etc. In any event, the Atem tells us that you are required to take for your own field yourself And an aris, a sharecropper, cannot take off on the part that he gives to the balabais. He can't go take off to some isis. Again, without permission. If the balabais gives him permission, of course he can do that. So atem, v'lo arisin. Likewise, we dash in the word atem, and here's the part that we're interested, v'lo apotropin. And administrator of the field, the apotropos, the guardian, cannot take off Trumas and Isis. So here's the Beferish Kasha. The Brisa says totally different than our Mishnah. So how can that be? Well, and we'll just finish off the Brisa. And it says, V'lo Atari Mishainu Shalom. And likewise, the person that's taking Trumas and Isis is something that doesn't belong to him unless he has permission to be the Shaliach on behalf of the owner of the field. He doesn't have the right to do so. So clearly, this Brisa argues with our Mishnah. So on the surface, there seems to be a machlokes. Gemara says, not necessarily so. Amr Chislo Kasha. There is no stero here between our Mishnah that says, the apotropos can't take off Trumas and Isis. The Brisa said the apotropos cannot take off Trumas and Isis because Khan, in our Mishnah, we're dealing with an apotropos that's taking off Trumas and Isis so they can go and eat. Lahachil. As Rashi points out, the Yisomim la'alter. So the Yisomim need to eat. This produce is going to be sabah for them. So in this situation, chayavim yaseh, they're not allowed to go and eat tevel. Tevel is a chi of misa b'dei shemayim. That's a very, very serious prohibition. So the apotropos in this situation, where he's doing it to feed the young orphans, so then he is allowed to take off trumas of isos. That's our Mishnah. And Kan, the Braisa, said lehaniach. We're dealing, as Rashi says, hatfua, you're leaving the tfua ba'otzer in the storehouse, ad sheyigadlu, until the children grow up and get older. So what's the purpose of taking off Trumas and Isis now? Lomilei Yisurei L'shiyigadlu Yasrum Heim. There's no reason for the apotropos to have to go take it off right now, and therefore it's not allowed to because of the pasuk Atan below apotropin. So here, the Brisa tells us that if you're just putting it aside, you're not going to need this produce right now. It's not going to spoil. It's going to be stored in the warehouse, and the oats are, and when the Yisomim grow up, they'll take off the Trumas and Isis themselves. In that situation, the Brisa says that Atem below apotropin. So there's no steer between our mission and the Brisa. They're talking about this scenarios. Our mission is talking about what they need to eat right now. So it's an issa to eat tevel. So of course, the apotropos can take off Trumas and Isis. And in the Brisa, they're talking about where you're storing it away and it won't spoil. And there's no reason to go take off Trumas and Isis right now. So then you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Isis right now. And I'll show you this is right, Votanya. This is, as we always say, Benichus, Rashi always points out, when the Votanya is coming to bring a raya rather than asking a question. So here we have a raya to this. The Brisa tells us, Ha'apotropin tormin uma'asrin l'hachil v'lo l'aniyah. The Brisa says, beferish this answer, that an apotropin is allowed to take off Trumas and Isis if it's to go and feed the Yisomim right now, however, but not to go and store it away in the Otsar, so that can be taken off when the Yisomim grow up. Now, we continue with this Brisa. The Brisa tells us the apotropos is allowed to go umochrin lohen behema avodim ushvachos botim sodos uchramim. The apotropos has the right to go and sell on behalf of the Yisomim from the estate that their father left them. Any animals that they have, avodim that they have, ushvachos, male or female servants that they have, botim houses, sodos fields, uchramim vineyards, but only for the purpose lahachil. Again, because they need the food right now. So he'll go sell us for money, and then with the money, he'll go and buy them food. So in that situation, he's allowed to go sell all of these items from the estate. Avol lo lehaniach, but not to go and invest it, so to say. As Rashi says, if you go and sell these things, they don't need the money right now, so you're going to go put it into a bank account, or you go put it into some sort of an investment, or just hide it underneath your mattress. So Rashi says, Shema Yignavu, you have to be concerned that somebody's going to come and steal it, and all of a sudden, this value of the field that they had, that you just sold for money, so now the money's gone, and they don't have the field, they don't have the money. Or alternatively, Rashi says, Inami, Mishum Shevach Besaviyem. Because this was their father's field, so it's a very special thing for them to have their father's field, their father's house. So even though you can sell it and get the money, no, they would prefer to have the father's field, the father's house, Shevach Besaviyem. So therefore, you're not allowed to go and sell these things if it's not for food purposes right now, similar to the Trumas and Isis. And the Brisa continues and says, furthermore, the apotropos is allowed to go sell for them, umokhlehen, teros, yenos, shimonim, muslosos, lahachil, avolola, niach. Likewise, with any fruits that grew in the field, the wine that was produced from this field, the oil that was produced from this field, the flour that was produced from this field, you're allowed to go and sell that again for the purposes of they need food right now. So you can sell it for money, or they can obviously eat this food right now. You take off Trumas and Isis, but you're not allowed to go and store it for them and sell it for the purposes of storing the money that you'll get for this. Because again, there is no reason to do this now. Wait and let them decide. Furthermore, the Brisa says, Osanheim Lulav, Arava, the Sukkah of its Itzes, the apotropos is allowed to go take funds from the estate to go and purchase them a Lulav and Esrog, and the Aravas that they needed, and a Sukkah for them, and also to purchase them Tzitzis. They have a four-cornered garment, or As we know, we paskin that even if you don't have a four-cornered garment, that we have the minhag wearing a talus carton, so where it sits is. So therefore, he's allowed to go purchase for them all of these things because these are necessities for right now. This is comparable to lahachil as opposed to lehaniach. Furthermore, the chol davar sheyesh lo kitzvah, the apotrop is allowed to purchase them anything that has a specified amount. It is not something that will use up all of the estate, but they need it for right now. What is an example of this? Lasuya, this coming to include the Brice that tells us a shofar, that they need a shofar. A shofar is not an extravagant, huge expense. It's not going to deplete the estate. So therefore, to go and purchase, if they needed a shofar, would be allowed as well. Furthermore, the Brice continues, says, well, local land, the apotrop is allowed to go take for them a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. The chol davar sheyesh lo kitzvah. The apotrop has the right to buy for them a sefer Torah. They need to learn. So the Sefer Torah is to, for them to learn and to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. Tefillin, he's allowed to buy them a pair of tefillin. Aye, they're under bar mitzvah. So nowadays, we don't wear tefillin if we're under bar mitzvah. But midah rabbanim, you have to be mechanef them in mitzvos, and they would go and put on tefillin. The person is capable of protecting and carefully watching how he acts when he's wearing the tefillin. So then a katan can even wear tefillin. However, nowadays, on minhag is that we're concerned, and the Aruch HaShulchan puts it down. This is one of the reasons why women don't wear tefillin, because it's just too dangerous to wear tefillin. And a man who doesn't have a choice, so he's above the age of a mitzvah, he must wear tefillin. So men put on tefillin, but it's dangerous because if you don't have the right kavanas at all times, if you're not careful to remember the tefillin at all times, you could be chas v'shalom doing terrible things. So that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says we don't allow women to wear tefillin, even though we do normally let them do a mitzvah seishas man groma, but tefillin and tzitzis are the two mitzvah seishas man groma that we don't allow women to do. And again, the Aruch HaShem says, because it's too dangerous. So that's why we don't allow children under the age of bar mitzvah to wear tefillin. No, we have them put it on some period of time before the bar mitzvah, different customs as to how much before, a little bit beforehand. Some put it on just a day beforehand, some put it a month, etc. Either way, that's to prepare them, because they're going to have to put on tefillin, mitzvah Hashem, for the rest of their lives, long lives, healthy, long, happy lives, and they'll need to know how to do this, and so they let them do a little bit beforehand. So the apotropos, if the children are needing tefillin, so that you can put tefillin, you buy purchase and tefillin, and of course mezuzahs for the doorways. And anything that has a set limit, that's not going to deplete the estate. And what's an example of this? Liasuya Megillah. This is to buy them a Megillah that they need to lay. Megillah's Esther, for example. Now, in all of these things, you technically can borrow all of them, but so this is something that is a set amount and is not going to deplete the estate. Obviously, the state has enough money to go and purchase these things. So therefore, the apotropos has the permission to go and purchase these things. Furthermore, the Raisa says, Yain poskin alein tztaka. However, the apotropos doesn't have the obligation to go take off tztaka from the estate that he has on behalf of the orphans, because, as Rashi points out, the tztaka ain't lo kitzwa. This doesn't have a set amount. The nebuch, there's always needs and needs and needs. The ho b'chol shaita kaim yanim. There's always going to be anim present. And therefore, nimtzu nechseihem kolim. And it's going to end up that the apotropos, if he gives tztaka, is going to end up using up the entire estate on tztaka, and therefore there will be nothing left for the orphans. Likewise, the Ein Podim Alem as Sashurim, even though Pidyon Shurim is such a great mitzvah, that's why it's mentioned separately over here, because it's really part of Tztaka, but such a great mitzvah, so you might have thought that maybe for Pidyon Shurim, the apotropos is allowed to give from the estate on behalf of doing the mitzvah of Pidyon Shurim, so the answer is no, also because it's going to use up the estate, because there's no limit over here in the needs for the Pidyon Shurim as well, possibly. So it's a Dovish Ein Lo Kitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have the right to go and give on their behalf for Tztaka or Pidyon Shurim. And likewise, lo chol davar shein lo kitzvah. And not only this, but anything that doesn't have a set specific amount to it, because it could destroy the estate, use up all the estate. And what's an example of this? Lasuye tanchume avelim. Nebuch, there are always a needs for the avelim. So therefore, this would also, people are constantly dying, Nebuch. So therefore, the needs of nichum avelim is also something that doesn't have a kitzvah, and therefore, there is no obligation. And the upper trumpets, in fact, is not allowed to go and give on behalf of the estate, on behalf of the orphans. Furthermore, the Brisa says, "Ein apotropin rashayin ladun lachov v'liskos v'nichsei yisomim." The apotropos doesn't have the right to go and adjudicate cases, either to go and win money or to protect them from losing money if somebody sues them. So he's not allowed to do this with a nichsei yisomim. Rashi explains ladun, that means to be im baldin shal yisomim. If a litigant comes to say the yisomim owe him money, or they want to go take a litigant to court to go and collect money from this litigant, so if the litigant is coming, habola ora el nechseihem, the litigant is suing them in court, he wants to go take them to court, so the apotropos doesn't have the right to go and defend the nechasim of the orphans, because shema yischaivu b'tanosem, because maybe you're going to win the case, so therefore it's a lose-lose proposition over here. If he wins the case, so they didn't gain anything, other than the fact that the case went away. And if he loses, they lost their property. So therefore, Ulshiyadulu, when the kids grow up, Hayisomim Yidonuimo, let the Yisomim then worry about it when they grow up older. But don't adjudicate the case right now. So we want to ask the obvious question, okay, we can understand if you're being sued, why we don't allow you to go litigate the case, because then you'll possibly lose and the Yisomim will be out. But if you're going to try to collect money from somebody else, so why can't you go and do that? Lizakos, am I low? Why can't the Abitrubas go and sue somebody on behalf of the orphans, go to court and say, hey, listen, this guy owes us $100. Why can't he try to go collect that $100? So why did we say that the Abitrubas doesn't have the right? Lodun lechov v'liskos. Okay, we can understand lechov, but why not liskos? Someone says, you're right. That's not what it meant. Elo, lachov al minas liskos b'nifse yisomim. What he doesn't have the right to do is, if he loses the case, to have that as a final answer. So the bottom line is that it's a lose-lose proposition for the other side, because if he wins the case, so the guy has to pay the money to the office. If he loses the case, so it's not a final court decision, the yisomim will be able to adjudicate it again when they grow older. So it's like double jeopardy. And therefore, the Bryce had said that he doesn't have the right to go do this because he's really hurting the other litigant. As Rashi says in Dira Matzal, Elo, Hoki Kamer, Ein Rashi in Lodun Lochov Amanas Lizakos, Imdonu Kidei Lizakos Vinishaivu, Ein Yisomim Nifsadim. So the Yisomim are never going to lose in these situations, so therefore it's not fair that they should go and adjudicate the cases. So if somebody goes to sue them or they want to sue somebody else, we don't do this, we wait till they grow up. Now, the Brisa continues and says, Ve'en apotropin rashoy limkar. The apotropin doesn't have the right to go and sell properties that are far away, berachok, even though the legal bekarv, he's going to go and exchange them for properties that are nearby. So he's going to sell a property that's far away in order to go and buy a property that's nearby. So you're not allowed to go and do that. Berah, likewise, if there's a lousy property, you're not allowed to go and sell it, but legal biyofa, and go and redeem, technically. Legal means to redeem a property that is a better property. Now, why not? This seems to be in the advantage of the assumption, my time. So why don't we allow you to do this? So the Braisa answers, because the Dilma mishtadfin, because you know what's going to happen? This field is unfortunately going to get destroyed. So it looked like it was a better field. It looked like it was closer. It looked like it was a better quality field than the one that was sold. But things can change. And maybe this field will unfortunately get flooded and be underwater. Something will happen to it. The wind will come and destroy it. A flood will come and destroy it. And therefore, leave things the way they are. Whatever they have, that's what you leave it, what they have. You're not letting go and make things, that changes that you think are for the better, when there's no reason that the other thing that they have is not acceptable. Okay, now if something that would be spoiling, obviously, if it's something that you're doing to prevent a loss right now, so then that would be different. Then it says in the Braisa, Ve'en apotropin, the apotropis is not allowed to go, and Rashoin Limkor Sodos Likach Avadim. He can't go sell fields and go purchase Avadim with that, because the Avadim are considered a more permanent and a better type of a property than to own the slaves, because the slaves, unfortunately, will grow old and die. So therefore, the property is something that will never go away, whereas the slaves will grow old and be much less valuable. So therefore, he doesn't have the right to go and sell a field in order to go and purchase avodim. However, avamokrim avodim, lokim b'etzadus, but the other way around, yes, he can go sell slaves for fields, because the fields will be a better thing for the orphans to own than the slaves. Rabbi Shimon Galil Omer, no. Af lo limkor avodim likach sodos. He says, no, even to sell slaves for a field, which sounds like it would be a better thing for the orphans, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Why does Rabbi Shimon Galil disagree with the Kanakam over here? Because he says, my time, what's the reasoning? Because with Duma lo mishpayin. Because you know what's going to happen? As Rashi brings down Duma lo mishpayin, lo yuhu mishu kartos etzlo shema yetze olav ira. Because you know what's going to happen? It's not going to go and be a good thing. This field that you thought was such a good thing, all of a sudden there's going to be people say, hey, the guy that you purchased from really didn't own it. And there's going to be all sorts of litigation, all sorts of problems. But the slave, it was clear that it was your slave. And this field, now that you bought this field, all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, people are going to come and say, no, he didn't really own that field. I own that field, and here's my proof. And all of a sudden, you're going to have litigation. So therefore, Duma lo mishpayin. And therefore, it's better to leave things exactly the way they are. This way, nobody can have a titan against you as the apotropos. The Brisa continues, the long Brisa. The Brisa continues and says, the Apotropos doesn't have the right to go free the slaves. The simple understanding of this is because he doesn't own them. So therefore, he doesn't have the right to go and free them. Lotzi and L'cheiris, Rashi tells us, is afilu eina yisomim nifsodim, even though there would be no loss to the yisomim. Shavadim boyin liftos asim v'kesef shenos lohem acherim amanash ein li yisomim mishuspo. Even though it would be from a financial point of view, the slaves worth $1,000, and the slaves got money from somebody else, and they're freeing themselves for $1,000, and therefore, the yisomim are technically not losing out. They had $1,000 before, and they have $1,000 now. Nevertheless, the Apotropos doesn't have the right to go and free them. Afilu hachi, Rashi continues, ein rashoyin. The Apotropos can't go and free them. Sharein gufon karnoi lehen lishachran, because they don't own these slaves. They're the guardian for the estate. They're the Apotropos for the estate, and they don't have the right to go and free the avadim because they don't own them. However, the Brisa continues and says, avol mokrin osom le'acherim, but they do have the right to go and sell them to other people. And this, as Rashi points out, is because the yisomim need the money, let's say. L'takonas ha'yisomim, k'don l'hachil olikach sodos, for the reasons that we said previously, they need food, or because you're going to buy something better, like the Tanakama of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, who said that they can sell an eved to purchase a field. Tanakama felt that that was a better usage of the property, to sell the slave to go and buy a field, or because, again, they needed it for food. So the Apotropos does have the right to sell it to somebody else, even though that other person will then go and free them. Yacherim, Osino, so Lacherim, if that's what they want. Now, Rebbe says it's a little bit problematic over here. If the Apotropos can sell them to someone else, and that someone else can free them, so why can't the Apotropos sell the slaves, so to say, to themselves, and let the slaves free themselves? So Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Omer Ani, I mentioned many times, when Rabbi says Omer Ani, that means this is his gestalt. He didn't hear this from his Rebbeim. This is based upon all of his Torah learning. This is what he thinks the answer should be, and therefore it's very powerful. That's what Shlomo Kluger says. So Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani, Af who knows saying Deme Atzmo Viose. He said, if the Eved has money that was given to him by somebody else, then it shouldn't belong to the owner of the Eved, so then he's allowed to have that money, and then the slave can go and purchase himself, so to say, from the Apotropos. Mipnei shu kimoch rolo, because this is no different than selling him to somebody else. What does it make if he sells him to Yankel, and Yankel then frees him, or he sells him to the slave himself, and then the slave frees himself? So Rebbe says there's no difference. So the Tanakama doesn't seem to allow the Apotropos to sell the slave, so to say, to himself, and free the slave in that way, that the slave is not causing any loss to the estate. He's paying for himself, so the Tanakhama doesn't seem to allow that, but Rebbe does. Continue with the Braisa. Now, what does this mean? So, we explain Rashi in Dibur Mas Biachrona, Kishi Yigdalu, when the Yisomim Barchim grow up, and now they told him, so Yechashev Imon V'Yishova Shelo Nisha B'Yaduklum. This is what we said in the Mishnah, that there is a general shua that the Apotropos makes. It's the conclusion of his service, that he has to go make a shua that I didn't skim off the top, I didn't keep anything that didn't belong to me. And he makes this shua, and even though the orphans don't have a specific item, say, hey, what about this, what about that? No, he just makes a general shua that even though the orphans don't suspect with anything, so the Tanakhama of the Braisa, as well as the Tanan or Mishnah, had said that he has to make a shua that he didn't do anything incorrect with the money, he didn't do any financial irregularities, everything was erlich and honest, and he makes such a shua. Rishim Gamliel says, no, he doesn't have to make such a general shua, there is no need to do so. Now, we'll see a little bit more in the Gemara as the Braisa continues. Ein osin apotropin noshim va'avod muktanim, the Beis Din will not go and appoint somebody, and ideally, it's a recommendation that the father shouldn't go and appoint somebody who doesn't have the financial wherewithal to go and take care of the estate. So that's why women in those days did not normally have the knowledge. As Rashi said, it wasn't common for women to be out in the business world. So they would be taken advantage of tremendously if they were naive and went out into the business world and tried to start administrating the estate for the Yisomim. So if a woman in those days usually did not have such knowledge, so it doesn't make sense to appoint her as an apotropos. Likewise, we have Avodim, because, as Rashi points out, in the money, they're not going to be believed to do this in an erlich way. And Ketanim, Rashi says, because they don't really know. So you don't appoint such people, Noshim Avodim Ketanim, to be the apotropos. However, if the father, in fact, said, listen, I know this woman, she'd be a great apotropos. This Eved is a trusted Eved. This Ketan is a genius. He's a financial wizard. So V'yaminon Avi Yisomim, if the father of the Yisomim did appoint Noshim Avodim Uktanim to be the Apotropos, he does have the right to go do so. Well, in general, it's not a wise thing to do. If the father thinks that this is a good person, this particular Noshim Avodim Uktanim are in fact quite capable, so he's allowed to go and appoint them to be the Apotropos of the estate. Horishus Biyado. Now, Maisa Shoya. That's the end of the Brisa. Now we have a Maisa Shoya. How Apotropos, the once was an Apotropos, Davi Bishop of Usay, the Reb Meir, that lived in the neighborhood of Reb Meir. So Reb Meir was in charge of that shtot from a legal and hashkafic point of view. Davi Komizabin, Arosov, Zovin Avde. And this Apotropos went, and he went and sold land to purchase Avodim. Now, we just said previously, one should not do so. And therefore, the Lo Shavke Reb Meir. Reb Meir did not allow him to go do this because this went against what we just learned in the Brisa. Don't go sell. The Apotropos doesn't have the right to go and sell the karka to go purchase Avodim. That's not considered a good thing. So Reb Meir stopped him. No, that night Reb Meir had a dream. If you're Reb Meir, you get dreams like this. Ach vulei b'chalmei, they showed, Kosh Baruch Hu showed Reb Meir in his dream, Ani laharos v'yatol limnos. I want to go and destroy these properties over here. That's why I put into the mind of this Apotropos to go and sell the land that they had for Avodim. So I wanted to hurt these Yisomim for whatever the reason. Some suggest that the property was stolen. It wasn't gotten with, properly. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was righting things, the wrongs that had been done by the father. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was now arranging through the Apotropos to go and right those wrongs. So Ani Laharos, Hashem says, I came over here to destroy these properties, Vatol Livnos, and you're instead saving them. Because I had a great plan to go and have them buy this Eved, and the Eved was going to have a heart attack the next day, and they'd be out the field, they'd be out the Eved. And therefore, things would have been back to the way it should be. And you're going and foiling my plans. Nevertheless, Reb Meir didn't listen. Afilu ochi lo ashkach, because Omar divrei chalomos lo ma'alim v'lo meridim. Because Reb Meir wasn't of the opinion that these types of dreams have any halachic or hashkafic significance. And he said, these are dreams. I must have been thinking about this during the day. Gemara in Brachos talks in great detail about dreams, and it says if a person is thinking about things during the day, so then don't take any significance if you dream about it. So if you're not dreaming about it during the day, so maybe the Gemara in Brachos says that it could have some significance. And it goes through a whole list of things. If you see this, this is what it means. If you see that, that's what it means. But in any event, Reb Meir didn't think that this dream had any halachic significance. It didn't change his mind at all, even though he seemed to be getting a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a dream from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, lo ashkach. He didn't pay it any attention because he said that these dreams, divrei chalomos, lo malin v'lo meridin. You don't act upon them. You don't go up. You don't go down. You don't listen to these dreams. So Reb Meir, again, wanted to make sure that he took care of the Yisomim to the best of his ability. The ones or two people also living in Reb Meir's neighborhood, that the Satan unfortunately got into them, and they were fighting on Erev Shabbos. So every week, as we'll see, they would fight on Erev Shabbos Badafka. That's the most difficult time of the week. That's the time that the Satan knows that people are a little bit afraid. People are careful and trying to get everything ready for Shabbos, and their anxiety levels are a little bit higher, and knows that's a great time to incite people to go fight one with the other. So Dechol Bei Shimshe, every Erev Shabbos. The Shimshe literally means during the Banish Mashmash period of time, but Rashi says it means Shalar of Shabbos. Havu Kominsu Bahadei Hadodei. They were getting into a fight every single Erev Shabbos, and which there the Shabbos, and the Satan was very happy. So Reb Meir found out about them. So Ikla Reb Meir Lahasim. Reb Meir went to go visit them for a couple of weeks in a row on Erev Shabbos. Now you're not going to go fight and yell and scream and do all sorts of crazy things if Reb Meir is there, and therefore Akvinu Tlaso Bei Shimshe. He stayed there 3 weeks in a row on Erev Shabbos, and they didn't fight for 3 weeks in a row. Until they made peace, they said, hey, listen, there really is no reason for us to be fighting. We see that we're amazed, so we don't have to fight, And Shami, the comrade, Reb Meir then heard, right? He heard the Satan, right? She says, Shami the Satan, the comrade, who said, back to Gemara, Vai, the Afki Reb Meir, Lahau Gavra, Mi Beisei. Oh, woe is to me, meaning the Satan was saying, woe is to me that Reb Meir kicked me out of this house. So the fighting, which was the delight of the Satan, which was his spur, so now that was stopped. So he was, so to say, kicked out of that house. Okay. Gemara continues with another story. How Apotropos, Davi Shavuze, the Rishuvan Levi. The once was an Apotropos who was under the shtot of Rishuvan Levi, where he was the Gadol Hador in that area. He sold land and he purchased oxen. And yet, here, Rishuvan Levi didn't say anything. Now, this seems to go against the Brisa that we just had. You're not allowed to sell land for Avodim, so Mustami, you're not allowed to go sell land to go purchase oxen. So why did Rabbi Yeshua Levi not speak up like Rabbi did? Because Savar law ki Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yeshua Levi held like Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? We learn the following Brisa, the Tanya. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Miyamai lo karisi lishti ishti ulushori shori. In all my life, I never called my wife my wife, and I never called my ox my ox. Why? Because elo li ishti, I called my wife Basi. The wife is everything. The wife is the house. She's the foundation of the family. Akeres habayis. So he didn't refer to his wife as his wife. He referred to her as his rock, right? As his house. And therefore, that was a much more beautiful way to refer to his wife. And likewise, Ulushari, he didn't call Ulushari shor. He called him Sadi, my field. In other words, Rav Yossi held that an ox is an essential part of the field, just like the field. And therefore, according to Rav Shubin Levi, understanding like Rav Yossi, you're allowed to go and sell part of the field to go and purchase an ox, to go and plow the rest of the field. Because without the ox, you'll have nothing. Yeah, you have a big field, but you can't plow it. A human being is going to take forever to go plow the field. An ox can plow it, a much stronger animal. It can plow it the entire field. So therefore, it's worthwhile, Rav Shubin Levi said, for the apotropos to have sold part of the field to go purchase an ox to go and take care of the rest of the field. And that's why Rav Shubin Levi didn't say anything when the apotropos sold a small part of the field in order to purchase an ox. Now, another story. Hanu Yisome Dahabu Smiche Gabi Hayisata. There were these Yisomim that were being taken care of. The apotropos, so to say, was this older woman. And she was taking care of them. Now, Havaluhu Torosa. This estate of these orphans in the estate was a cow. Havaluhu Torosa. And Shakla, she went and took it. Uzvinta Nihalayu. And she sold it on their behalf. Now, the Krovim came and were upset about this. Also, Krovim, Lakami, the Rav Nachman, the relatives of these Yisobim came to Rav Nachman and said to him, Amrulei, and they said to him, my avite this Avna. How does she have the right to do this? Who said that she was the apotropos over here for these orphans? They're our relatives. So Amrulei, Rav Nachman said to them, Yisomim Shesomchu Eitzel Balabayis tonight. Our Mishnah said that if nobody came forward, the father didn't appoint somebody, never before he died, the Basin didn't appoint somebody, but somebody stepped up and was acting as the apotropos, so they have the right to do so, and that's why she was able to go and sell the cow. In summer, they needed it for food, and she sold it to them. And therefore, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, that is perfectly allowed. Lahakil is allowed. So what's your problem? So that's what Rav Nachman told these relatives. No, oh, Yaker. They said, hey, but the cow went up in value. She sold it for $1,000, and the next day it's worth $1,500. A week later, it's worth $1,500. So she should have to go pay the extra $500 out of her own pocket. She caused them a loss. So Rav Nachman said, no. Birishu saw the lokeach yakir. No. When she sold it, it was worth $1,000. You're not arguing about that. She sold it for a fair price. She knew what she was doing. No. The prices go up afterwards, so it didn't go up under the orphan's possession. It went up under the purchaser's possession. So therefore, the purchaser is entitled to that increase and not the orphan's, and certainly the woman is not liable. So the relatives were still not happy. And they said, lo nikite demei. But wait a second. The orphans did not get the money for the cow. She sold the cow, and the person would bring the money a week later, let's say. So right now, the orphans had not yet received the money, and now the cow is worth $1,500. And therefore, in this situation, technically, the orphans haven't received the money, so they could theoretically back out of the deal. So she should be forced to go and take the cow back so that the orphans gain the extra $500 in my case. So Amalu, Rav Nachman told the relatives, oh, if that's the case, Im Kain, if you're telling me that the orphans didn't yet receive the money, so then you're right. Hainu, the Rav Chaniloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. This is in accord with what Rav Chaniloi Bar Idi said in the name of Shmuel. What was that? That he said, the Amar Rav Chaniloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel, Nichse Yisomim, we treat the property of the Yisomim like we would treat Hekdish, and Hekdish is always having the upper hand, below Mikne, and Hekdish isn't considered to have sold something until they in fact get money. Below Mikne Elabikaspa. So too, in this situation, we view the orphans like being Hekdish, and therefore, until they get the money, in fact, they have the right to retract the sale. So if it went up, you're 100% right. In this situation, the cow can be returned to the orphans because they never received money for it, so the sale wasn't complete and finalized, and therefore, you're right. In this situation, the woman could go and get back the cow on behalf of the orphans. Another story, lots of stories today. Chamre derabana ukva. The word chamre could mean a chamor, or the word chamre could mean wine. So I once heard from a barrel of wine, Shlita, and he said, how do you know what the Gemara means, whether it means wine or it means a chamor? So he says that you can tell by the kick that it gives you. Very cute. In any event, here it means the wine. So chamre, the wine of Rabban Ukva Yasper, of Rabban Ukva, who was a Yasam, who was a young boy at this time, Mashchua, it was sold. The apotropos sold this wine on behalf of Rabban Ukva Yasma, and the people did a Kinyan Mashiach with it, the Arba Arba. And they had arranged at that point in time, they hadn't yet paid for it, that they would pay four Zuz, Arba Zuz, for each battle. So Arba Arba Zuzim for a battle. Now, they did a Kinyan Mashiach, they took the wine, but they didn't get paid for it. Now, the Yaker, the wine now went up, the Kambishisa Shisa, and now, instead of being worth 4 zuzim for a barrel, it's now worth 6 zuzim for a barrel. So who gets this money? So on the surface, it looked like, well, they did a kinyan mashicha, so it belongs to them. So they got lucky, and the barrels went up from 4 to 6 in their possession. But the apotropos of Rabbanu Ukva Yasma also came to Rav Nachman. He went to Rav Nachman and told him what happened, and Rav Nachman told them, Arma Lahu, he said, Hainu d'ra'al chanoi bar idi. Amar Shmuel that we just said. So this is the exact same thing as the previous case. And Rav Nachman said, no, you get the money back. You get the higher price of 6 if they still wish to purchase it from you. Or they have to give you back the wine. You can sell it to somebody else for 6 because until the orphans get the money, it's not considered a full final sale, just like with Hekdesh. And therefore, the upper hand is for the orphans. That's the statement that Rav Chanoi Bar Idi said in the name of Shmuel, and that applies over here too as well. Now the Gemara is going through a bunch of general cases. Moshuch peri miyasme. If somebody took peros from the Yisomim but didn't yet pay for it, and then the peros went up in price, Yakur, oh, this is exactly the case. Hainu the Rav Chalinoi by Idi Amar Shmuel that we just said. However, Zul, if it went down in price, so let's say in the case that we just had the wine, instead of going from 4 to 6, it went from 4 to 2. So it went down in price. So then the rights of a plain person shouldn't be greater than the rights of Hekdesh. In this situation, since a regular person would not be able to go and tell Hekdesh, hey, I purchased you from 4, now it's 2, so I want to give it back to you and get back my 4 because it's only worth 2 right now. No, a regular person can't do that. Hekdesh's hand is on the upper hand. So Hekdesh always has the upper hand. And therefore, in this situation, you did a kinyan mashicha, so it belongs to you. So Hekdesh always has the best of both worlds. The purchase of a Hekdesh always has the worth of both worlds. So too over here. In this situation, even though no money was transferred over, so if it went up, the orphans have the right to get it back. If it goes down, the orphans will say, sorry, you did a kinyan mashicha, and you got to keep it, even though it's now only 2 per barrel. So the same thing would apply by Hekdesh as it would, same thing applies to the Yisomim as it does to Hekdesh. The Gemara continues and says, what happens if Amshichu lo peri liyasme? What happens if the apotropos made a kinyan mashicha on behalf of the orphans? So he didn't yet pay for it, but he was the one that took the produce and said, we'll pay for it. We arranged, let's say, for the wine. He bought barrels of wines for the orphan, and it is at the price of 4 zuz per barrel. And now, Iyakir, it goes up. So he didn't pay for it. He did a kinyan mashicha. So lo yekol hejot chomer mihektish. So in this situation, we again say that a regular person would, if the kinyan mashicha was made, can't go and say, hey, I didn't pay you yet, I want it back because it went up to 6. No. In this situation, a kinyan mashicha was done, and therefore we give the benefit to Hekdesh, or we give the benefit to the Yisomim. So even though they agreed to pay 4, but a kinyan mashicha was done, and now it's worth 6, so they still get to keep it. They don't have to pay 6 for it. But the other way around, Zul, if it went down in price, so the students in the Beis Medrash saw for me not to say the same thing. Didn't they say this should be Hainu the Rav Chanoi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel? Shouldn't this be the same thing that Rav Chanoi Bar Idi said in the name of Shmuel? That in fact the orphans over here, since it went down, should be able to say, hey, we never paid for it, so we'd like to return it. We just made a kinyan mashicha, so we'd like to return it. So that seems to be like Rav Chanoi Bar Idi, that they would have the right to do so, that the orphans would have the upper hand. But here, no. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi said, no, this situation is different. This would not be a good idea. Because if you let them go and retract in this situation because they didn't actually pay for it, so then you know what's going to be? Nobody's going to ever want to deal with orphans until they get the money. And they may not have the money. Nobody's going to give them anything on credit because they'll know that the deal could be reversed if it went down in price. So therefore, you're actually doing a disservice to the orphans if you would apply the principle of Rechaninoi by Idi Amar Shmuel over here. This would be bad for them because the Zibnim, the Mitztaich Leper, sometimes they're going to need fruits, but they don't have the cash to pay right now. And nobody's going to give it to them until they get, in fact, cash because they'll say, listen, if it goes down in price, you're going to come back to me and give me back the fruits, and I'll lose that. Right now, if I sell it to somebody else, I'm making 4, but it's going to go down to 2, then you're going to give it back to me, and I'll only be able to sell it for 2. So nobody's going to want to give them anything unless they have cash ready, and therefore, since they may not always have cash ready, it would be a disservice to them, and therefore, Rav Shisha Bered Ravidi says, don't apply the principle of Rechanoi by Idi over here, because it's actually being detrimental to the Yisomim. Another case, Yoavei Yasmei Zuzei Aperi, at the Yisomim, in fact, paid money for the fruits, but they didn't yet take possession of the fruits. So now, if the price goes down, Zul, so lo ye koach hedyot chomim min ahekdesh. In this situation, since a regular person is allowed to go and retract until the kinyan mashicha is done, even though they paid the money, so certainly the orphans in this situation can go and retract, just like Hekdesh could go and retract. So if it goes down in price, they can say, listen, we decided we don't want to give us back the money. Yaker, it went up in price. So again, Sovr Minei, Hainu Dorchanoi Ba'idi, Omer Shmuel. They wanted to suggest in the Beis Medrash that this should also be a case where the orphans would have the right to say, no, we do want it, even though we didn't make a Kinyan Mashiach, but we paid for it already, so we'll take it because it's now worth more. So we thought that this would be an exact application of this principle, Rechanoi Ba'idi, Omer Shmuel. But again, Amalu Rav Shisha Breda Ravidi says, no, you're not doing them a favor. Lo ra healed the two. This is actually going to be a negative thing for them. Why? We're talking about Amud Beis. Because the Asu Lemei Maluhu, because then the seller is going to go and tell the orphans, Nisifru Chitchem Baliyah. Since technically they didn't make a Kinyan Mashiach, but it belongs to them. So he's going to say, I'm not watching it so well. And listen, there was a fire. So I ran out of there. Instead of saving it, I said, why should I take any chances? So I didn't do anything for it. He's not going to be careful with it. So therefore, it's actually be to the detriment of the orphans if we would allow this sale to be going through, even though a Kinyan Mashiach wasn't made, and therefore it's better not to. Another story, if people purchase from the orphans, they gave money for the orphans to go and buy peros, but they didn't actually do a Kinyan Mashiach yet. Now, if the fruits that they purchased went up in price, so then in this situation, since a regular person is allowed to cancel the sale before, in fact, the Kinyan Mashiach takes place, so too, Hektish could do that. So certainly the orphans are allowed to do that as well. So certainly we're going to treat them as well as we would a regular person, since no Mashiach actually took place. So in this situation, when they gave the orphans the money, so they didn't do a Kinyan Mashiach. If it goes up, the orphans will say, sorry, we're not selling it for the lower price. Zul, if it goes down. So again, we wanted to suggest in this situation, that this would be the same exact thing as Rav Chinar by Yidi Omer Shmuel, that listen, we always put the Hektish and the orphans on the upper hand. So Amlu Rav Shisha Breda Ridi again said the same thing over here. Hara Hulu Ditu, you're actually doing them a disfavor. It's going to be bad for the orphans because the Zimnin Nitzrach Lizuze, because sometimes they're going to need money. They have to go purchase some food and they need to sell these fruits. They want to have steak and they're going to need to go buy steak and they're not going to have any money. So they're going to sell the fruits to get the steak, but nobody's going to want to give them money because they'll know that they can retract the deal until the Kinyan Mashiach is done. So the Dim, the Mitzarech Luzuzay, the Lek of the Yavlu, and nobody's going to want to pay them until they get the Kinyan Mashiach, Azi will pay it. And therefore, it will be to their detriment. And therefore, don't apply the rule of Rav Chaninoi by Idi Amr Shmuel in this situation. Another Ma'is Shoya, Amr Ravashi, Ravashi said, Ano v'Rav Kahana chasminon ashtora di'imei di'izira yasma. Rav Kahana and I were witnesses, we were the Edom, we signed on a shtar that was written by the mother of Zira, who was an orphan. Now, and this mother of Zira was acting as the apotropos, the Mezavna Ara Lechraga, and she went and sold this field in order to pay the taxes. Lechraga means literally the head tax, so everybody had to go pay a certain tax, so she went and sold this on behalf of her son, so he would get thrown into jail. Rashi says that the mother sold it for Zeira's, Yasma's head tax. But Tosfos understands that she sold it to pay for her own head tax and for the daughters in the estate's head tax. In any event, that's what she did, and she did this below Achra Zosa. She did this without making an announcement. Normally, when you sell land of the Yisomim, you have to make certain public announcements, where elsewhere tells us how often, how frequently you have to do this in order to make sure that you get the best price for the land of the Yisomim. So here, she sold this without making the announcements. So how is this allowed to be done? So the Amri Nardai, because the Nardai said, L'chraga ulimizone ulikvura mizabninam below achrizosa. Because this is a unique situation. You have to pay these things right away, or else you're going to get into trouble. So therefore, you don't have the time to go through a public announcement and try to get the best price for it by publicizing that this is for sale. So for these things like Kraga, for the head tax, ulimizone, for food, Nebuch, they can't say, well, we'll wait six days or 60 days in order to go get the best price. No, they're hungry right now, so you have to sell right now. So you're allowed to sell these things even without doing the public announcements. And Nebuch, Likvura, if somebody died and they need to go pay for the funeral expenses, so you can't wait for that. So all of these things are allowed to be sold, Mizab Ninon, below Achriz also, without having a public announcement in order to get the best price, because hey, you need the cash right now, and therefore you're allowed to do this. The market teams says, Amra Tzavo, Amram, who was a person who was a dyer of clothing or items, was apotropos, the Yasmi Haba. He was serving as the apotropos for the Yisomim. Also, Krovin, the Kamei, the Rav Nachman. So the Krovin came to Rav Nachman, and they weren't happy with this apotropos. So Amrin Lay, they told Rav Nachman, Kolovish Umechase Miyasme. This guy, Amram Tzavo, is taking money from the estate and putting on fancy clothing for himself, and he's taking from the estate. He's buying suits from the estate to go and dress in suits. So Rav Nachman said to him, no, he has to do that. Because when he's going out into the business world, he has to look like a chashev guy, or else they're going to treat him in a negative way. And therefore, he's doing this to protect the assets of the Yisomim. He's going into the business world they see him looking like a shlum, they're going to take advantage of him, or they won't want to deal with him because they'll say, ah, this guy doesn't really have any money, he's a pauper, and we don't want to deal with him. So when he dresses nicely, oh, all of a sudden everybody wants to deal with him, so he's doing this for the benefit of the orphan, and he's allowed. No, the relatives were not happy still. They said to him, but he's eating well above his pay station. He's eating and drinking from the estate because he doesn't have enough money. So he doesn't have enough money himself to go and purchase those things. So he must be skimming off the top. He must be taking from the estate. So therefore, you got to go stop him. So Reb Nachman said, no, listen, Dan Likav Schus, Amor, maybe, let's say, Mitziah Ashkach, maybe he found $100, and that's why he's eating so nicely tonight. That's why he's eating well. He found something, and therefore, you think he doesn't have the financial resources, but now he does. So therefore, Dan Likav Schus. The relatives were not happy still. He's causing damage to the property. In other words, Rashi says, he wasn't properly taking care of the land, and Rashi says, Sheino mefaynes hakakos, he wasn't irrigating the fields properly. The code says he loved us. He was cutting down the trees in the field and selling them for lumber instead of using them for the fruits that they could bear, etc. He wasn't taking care of the field properly. He's causing them a loss. So now, Reb Nachman says to them, Amar lahu, bring me proof. Aisuli, sahade, witnesses the mafsid. Okay, if this is your taina, bring me proof that this is what he's doing. Viskaline, and then I'll remove him from his position as the apotropos. But until you bring me proof, he has a status of cheses kashrus, and until you bring me proof, we'll leave him over there. Because Yom Rav Huna, Chabrin Mishmei de Rav, because Rav Huna, our friend, said over the name of Rav, apotropos the mafsid, misalkinole. Because we would then remove him if we had proof that he was, in fact, a bad administrator. So then, if he's causing a loss to the Yisomim, so we remove him from his position. The Itmar, because they asked in the base medrash, Apotropo de Mavsid, what is the situation? The Apotropos is not doing a good job. So if Huna Amarav, Misalkinale. So if Huna Amarav said, yeah, you remove him. However, the very Rav Shila, base medrash Rav Shila, Amilo Misalkinale. No, if he was appointed by the father, we don't go and remove him. So how do we pass? We pass like Rav Huna Amarav. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, bring me proof that this guy is in fact destroying the property of the Yisomim. He's not taking care of it properly, and we will remove him like Rav Huna Amarav said. Now we quote the Mishnah, we finally get to explain the difference between the Tanakama, who said, under certain situations you make a shua, and certain situations you don't, and Abishua said the exact opposite. So, Apotropos Sheminu Avi Yisom Yishava, the Mishnah said that the Tanakama holds that if the Apotropos was appointed by the father, then he has to make a shua, but if he's appointed by the Beistin, so then he doesn't have to make a shua. My timer, what's the reasoning? If he's appointed by the father, that he has to go make a shua, because if somehow this apotropos had not somehow gotten benefit from the father, in other words, he was returning a favor. So the father had done him a favor in his lifetime, and now he's paying back that favor. And therefore, it's as if, in this situation, there is no concern that he won't do this. Lo havale apotropos. He never would have agreed to be the apotropos if it wasn't for the fact that he was, so to say, paying back the father. Maybe the father had done him a real tova, and he said, listen, I know you're on your deathbed right now, and it'd be my honor to go and repay that tova that you did for me by being the administrator of the estate. And therefore, a shvur will not deter him from becoming the apotropos. Umishum shvur lo asi le'amnuye. He won't stop from being the apotropos. Go, oh, if you make a shvur, I won't be the apotropos. No, he's really doing this because he's repaying a kindness that the father had done to him. So therefore, the shvua won't deter him, and therefore we make everybody make a shvua. That's the baseline in order to make sure that the finances of the orphans are totally protected. Making a shvua will maybe steer somebody away who may have done a little bit, taking a little bit off the top because he felt he's deserving of all the hard work that he does. So therefore, he has to make a shvua. I didn't take anything off from the estate. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. If the apotropos was appointed by the father, since he's going to do this no matter what, the shvua won't deter him. So therefore, we make the shvua. However, Mino based in Lo Yishava, but the Tanakama held that if the Beistin had appointed him, so then there is no need to make a shua. Why not? According to Tanakama, because Milso Biyamu Hudu Avad LeBeidina, he is doing a favor for the Beistin. He's a volunteer over here. Beistin is asking, listen, you're a trustworthy guy, so please go and take care of the estate of these orphans. Now, the Ramis Alei Shua Osi Lamnui. He says, fine, I'll do this. But he said, if they tell him, and by the way, you're going to have to make a shvua. People are very reluctant to make shvuas. He says, I'm not making a shvua. I'm an honest person. I'll do this job if you don't make me make a shvua. But if you make me make a shvua, I'm not going to do the job. So therefore, Tanakama holds that if the Beistin appoints you, therefore, they're not going to take this job if they have to make a shvua. So therefore, you don't have to make a shvua if Beistin appoints you. Mustama Beistin is going to appoint an honest person, and therefore, it won't be a problem. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Abishol disagreed in both cases. He holds that if the father appointed you, you don't make a shua, but if the Beisdin appoints you, you do make a shua. What's the rationale over here? My time mino Beisdin Yishava. Why, if Beisdin appoints you, does Abishol say that you have to go make a shua? Because Bahai Hano Dekornofikole Kolo Dinish Behemno. Because when Basin appoints you, who are they appointing? They're appointing somebody they think is an extremely erlich person. So therefore the name will go out about you. Oh, Basin appointed so and so to be the apotropos. He must be a really trustworthy guy. Dekoho Somichale Beidin. If the Basin trusted him, so certainly this is a guy you want to do business with, this is a guy you want to have interactions with, and therefore Mishum Shvua Lo Osli Amnuya. A person is not gonna say, well, listen, if I have to make a shvua, I'm not gonna do this. No, the benefits of being recognized by Beis Din as being an Erlich guy are worth it for a person to say, yeah, I'll be happy to make a shvua at the end of the apotropos period of time to say that I didn't skim off the top. Because obviously this guy didn't skim off the top, and the making of a shvua in this situation, even though people don't like to make shvuas, they would in this situation make the shvua because of the recognition that you'll get as being an Erlich guy. However, mino avi yisomim lo yishava. But if the father appointed you to be the apotropos, you're doing him a favor, and therefore the guy's going to say, "I'm not going to do him a favor if they make me make a shvua." So milso be amahu diavdi ladadi. I'm just doing him a favor, and therefore the ramis alei shvua osi lamnuya. People may say, "Listen, I'm not going to do it if I have to make a shvua." So therefore, Abba Shmuel has exactly the opposite of the Tanakama. How do we paskin? Amar Ruchanan bar Ami, Amar Shmuel hilchasor Abba Shmuel. We paskin like the opinion of Abba Shmuel. Tadi, we're learning the following braisa. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov Omer, Zeh Yishova. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov has a different opinion. He says that everybody, he has the chumra of the Tanakama and the chumra of Abba Shaul. He says that whether you're appointed by the father or whether you're appointed by the Beis Din, you have to make a shvua at the end. And the braisa says, V'alocha kidvar, we pass on like him. Tony Rav Techlifa by my Rava, Kamei the Rabbi Yavo. Rav Techlifa came from Eretz Yisrael. By my Rava doesn't mean he was the son of my Rava, it means he came from Eretz Yisrael, set over in front of Rabbi Yavo. Apotropos Sheminohu Avi Yisomim Yishova Mipneshu Nose Sachar. The father appoints the apotropos, so the apotropos has to go and make a shua because he's getting paid for his services. Where says, what? He's getting paid for his services? Amalei, At Ais Kabo V'chayles Lei? Are you taking money and destroying it? In other words, you're taking a kav over here of product and destroying it? You're not allowed to take money from the Yisomim. You either do this for free or you're not going to do this. So you're saying that a person's entitled to take money when the father appoints him? He's a nosei sachar? That's simply not true. So what says you're right? Elo emo, what he meant to say was, bipneishu ki nosei sachar. He's like a person who's a nosei sachar, because mistami only took this to repay the father for some kindness that the father had done to him. So therefore, by repaying that kindness, it's as if he's a nosei sachar, and that's why he has to go and make a shua. As opposed to the apotropos appointed by the Beis Din, so he's not going to do this if he has to make a shul because it's not paid position, and therefore, if you make a shul, he won't do it. Therefore, we don't make a shul. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.